You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to a book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are, looking to you. Help us in the light of yesterday, that we might be better prepared for tomorrow, and that that preparation for tomorrow would take place even now. So, God, that we would be the wonderful recipients of all of your grace and mercy and goodness, your wonderful plan and purpose. God, thank you. Deal with each heart in a way that only you can and only you know. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Being Memorial Day, and it pays to, especially these days, to remind ourselves about everything, because you can't assume that everybody has a fresh understanding of things as they need to. So here in Ecclesiastes, remember, everything is under the sun. Looking at everything in this life apart from God, how does it come out? So here in chapter 3, as you would note, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance or leap for joy. Now, slide down, if you would, to verse 8. A time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And when it's all done, watching the equalness and inequalities of life, what profit hath he, verse 9, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it, by it. He hath made everything beautiful, shining, useful, everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, eternity in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end, so that we are made and created by our wonderful God and Savior, and that we are made to last forever, one way or the other. And therefore, our particular journey at this point in time on planet Earth is but a moment. And it has all of these things that are pluses and minuses, assets and liabilities. They come, they go. Youth and age and all of it. Now, all of that exists. And we're trying to figure it out, like we did in Sunday school, trying to figure out how to put that together in the light of everything, in the light of the time, and especially Memorial Day, remembering those who have given their life for our country, life and limb, and have served. And so now, here's a time of war mentioned in verse 8, a time of peace. Over, if you would please, in your while you're here, over to chapter 8, And again, the word war is mentioned only in a context that would help us. And remember, we did the book of Ecclesiastes, or somewhat. So here in chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 6, because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him, because every year, another time, another event, or something changing, something that was is not anymore. Verse 7, for he knoweth not that which shall be, and we don't. For who can tell him when it shall be? We can't even predict when thus and thus is going to take place. Verse 8, there is no man that hath power. Power, that means to rule, to have the mastery over. There is no man that hath power, the mastery over his over the spirit, to retain his spirit. In other words, you can't sit there and say, I'm going to control my length of life. I can't do that. You can't do that. You can't just reach inside and touch yourself and say, I'm going to preserve this in such and such a way. You can't do that. It doesn't work. We don't have control of our living and our dying. And thus, verse 8, to retain spirit, to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power, there's the same word, in the day of death, and there is no discharge, there is no furlough in that war. You never, never relieved. Are you relieved? Can you have a break, a vacation? A furlough? Never. Never. There is no discharge in that war. In other words, when am I going to have power? When am I going to have control? When am I going to know? And we don't. We don't. We don't know. Huh. We just don't know. So, in the light of that war, and that's the world, history, which you're going to look at 6 o'clock, we'll go and tell them why wars ever came into being anyway, etc., to think that through. And so here in chapter 8, verse 8, there is no way, no relief from the unknown of tomorrow. We have no control of tomorrow. We have no way. And the end of verse 8, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And you can't just say, well, everyone, God, drop dead, which he can't. Everyone just quit and we'll do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, if we want to do it. And so what? Wickedness will never win. That approach will never win. You can just say, drop dead. You can't do that. It doesn't work. You can try it. Everyone plows along and does what they does. But hey, listen, you didn't gain a thing, and you put yourself in great jeopardy. What do you want to do that for? Now, therefore, in the light of war, what is war? Just for the review, you know all this stuff. War. What is a war? Well, it's from the Hebrew word, Greek word, English word. To eat, to consume. All of you will have something to eat today. True? When you go and eat what you eat, you're going to take that lovely, let me see what you're going to eat. You're going to take that lovely tomato sandwich. And you're going to take that, whatever it is you eat, and it looks lovely, you cut it ever so gingerly, and it lays on the sandwich, and the lettuce is from a special head from Taiwan and everything. And you got all of this stuff there together. And you know what? And you're going to put it in your mouth. And you're going to begin to chew. And you know what's going to happen to that tomato? You're going to consume it. You're going to destroy it. You're going to go and consume, destroy, to fight, to make war, is the word. You're making war with the tomato. And when you make war with the tomato, when you go and strife and consume and eat, devour, you're going to devour the tomato when you're going to have victory by war, consumption, over that tomato. And you know what? By the time it slides down your esophagus and gets down the bottom, down there, into your tummy, do you know what? And the acid's doing its job. You know it isn't a very attractive tomato anymore. Did you know that? Now, I could give you illustrations and say, don't speak like that. Did you ever have something go... I'm going to help you because you got to... I want to penetrate. You ever have something go down and eat something and lo and behold, it came out of you again? Is that all right to say it without getting into it? You upchuck it. You up it. And would you tell me, and you ate that wonderful, beautiful meal, would you tell me what that looks like? You were at war with it. That's the word war. Consume. To destroy. That's the word. Do you understand war? We don't know war. Our last wars, we have not won them. We have not gone to war to win, unfortunately. And therefore, and it's a long way. In fact, someone said, without telling you anything, someone said, I thought it was pretty good, in just a remark, why don't we this morning remember those that served in the First World War? The First World War, 1918. Are any of you a First World War? We can't even get the Second World War, hardly. You didn't understand that? Did you serve in the 1918 First World War? No one did. No one did. No one. No one. There's no one here like that. There's no memory. First World War, Second World War, Vietnam, Korean War, et cetera, et cetera. Vietnam. We go down the corridor of time and our society. Afghanistan, Iraq, et cetera, et cetera. Our society generally has no sense of war, has no sense of conquest. And as we shared the other day, just think of standing when I was a boy, a little older, standing there up in New Hampshire on the coast, Hampton Beach, and there, and all the coast defense guns were lined up all along, shooting out at the submarines that would come in and keeping people from invading. And you could go, and the property, of course, became very, very economical, to say the least. We had a sense of war. The gold stars, and the one after another on the street as you walk down, the gold stars of people lost their husbands and their sons. And you see a star, and then you go down the same street, and there's a second star in the same house. Wow. A shortage of rubber and everything. Butter. Remember, you traded coupons to get a tire for your car, etc. War. People don't know what war is. Therefore, how do you know what peace is? Do you know what peace is? What is peace? Well, we don't. Do you understand peace? I'll give it to you in the highest way to go. The God of peace gives you the peace of God that belongs to Him. The word peace, whole, complete. The word shalom, whole, complete, full, nothing missing. Totally, wonderfully, perfect. And if you don't know what peace is, it's hard for us to understand what war is. Because we're calling often peace war. And we don't know. We just have no way. And it makes it difficult for us. So war and peace. So that helps us a little bit to understand the world we live in, that why don't we appreciate all the men and women have done to make it possible for us to have this very unique setting that we live in, that has been such a benefit as no other country in all of history to the whole world. No one, nowhere has anyone ever done so much. So now, in the light of war and in the light of peace, and we need to know both, but if we don't know them well, then don't expect a lot out of us. We just don't have a lot to work with. And part of that is our own fault. And thus we have memorials, but we don't have good memories. And in the process, we have the memorials that are there and the monuments that are there to cause us to remember the in the past. And if we fail to learn from the past, then the present is difficult and the future is in trouble for us. We didn't learn anything from the past. And when we don't learn anything from history, what do you know the rule is? You repeat history. That's what you do. Read history. History is repeated over and over and over again. Different suit, different vehicle. Just same thing over and over again because we don't learn. We don't learn a thing. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and we are given the privilege of being in this country at this point, and we are persons. God has created us. God has died to make it possible so that we could have a unique personal relationship to Him by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this government, getting to that, since that's where we are here, getting to that, we are living in a unique, very, very unique government, form of government. James Madison, our fourth president, said this, quote, "No model on the face of the earth," unquote, in answer to the question, where did you get this setting from? There wasn't anything we could find in the great annals of history. There's Rome and all of that, but there was nothing we could find that would set this course, our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, etc. And thus, the second paragraph of our declaration, we hold these truths, hang on to that, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed, provided with, by their Creator, with certain unalienable, that means they're not able to be transferred to a new owner, unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. That whenever, again, sliding down, whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it or to institute a new government now. So we have a wonderful, wonderful freedom that has been given to us by our founding fathers. And in the process, we ought to be in the exercise and pursuit of life, L-I-F-E, and liberty, freedom. Freedom is never free. And the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. Now, having said that, therefore, we have the Memorial Day, as you know, set apart in May 1868 by John Logan, commander of the chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, and he made it official, quote, "for the purpose of strewing flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country," unquote, And thus the conflict and the cost, and all of it has been laid there, and Memorial Day is to remind me of what people paid to give me the right to stand here, the right for us to sit here, the right for us to be able to worship and approach God as we should. And therefore, all of this was done so that we would have comfortably able to have a commitment and a commitment to freedom and a continuance of freedom. And so now, having said that, so the second paragraph, we hold these truths to be self-evident, and we read that together. Then, so you had all of the major wars, 10 of them plus, major wars that have taken place in our country, and on various fields and battlefields, etc. And thus, as you're reading down the thing, here's the wars, that isn't in there, of course. And the last paragraph of the Declaration, for the support of this Declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Think of the Declaration. The Declaration says, people have a right to the truth. And by divine providence, God's personal management, we have fought and died and given our lives, our honor, and our sacred trust to have it. And they did. And that's what we have. God, here we are. Wonderfully, wonderfully have the privilege of being alive on planet Earth. Remember, they sacrificed their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Now, what were they willing to do? The truth. Willing to die to protect these truths? Willing to die to pursue these truths? Willing to die to provide these truths? Our right to know the truth? Our right to possess the truth? Our right to enjoy the truth? That's what it's about. Truth. How many people do you think know that? This Memorial Day. Truth. The right to know the truth. Not there is no truth. That's our day. There are no absolute truths. Political and et cetera, all that stuff. There is truth. And truth is unassailable. You cannot hit truth. You cannot strike truth. Truth always remains true. You have a simple thing. You have the natural law of gravity. And no matter what any of us think, we cannot overcome the law of gravity. We have the law of aerodynamics that doesn't violate the law of gravity and allows us to fly. That's true. That's true. Now, but in the light of that, see, here's all the commitment. These people have committed themselves to truth. So, and they need to remember. And one of our problems is we don't remember. That's why we have the monuments, in order to remember. That's why we have the services. That's why we have a weekend. To remember. Not to be distant, to somehow put people in remembrance. Remember Israel's failure, Psalm 78, etc. They were to go, and the children, they never lived in Egypt. They never lived in the wilderness. They never lived in the land when they had to battle for conquest, war. They never did that. But they were told, every generation was to tell the next generation what they knew so that it would be carried on and people would know. But you know what? They didn't tell people. We didn't tell them. We didn't instruct them. And that's why our country's where it is today. And we're part of the problem. By that I mean, if people had known better and spoke up and did right, we would be back right where we ought to be. But they've given it up and given it up and given it up, and it's all but gone. Wow. So here we are, God, looking and the truth. Now, just have a little exercise, the truth. God, you are the God of truth, and you've given us thy word of truth, and so we have the truth. And so, God, we're very fortunate. Some places, you know, in some parts of the world, many of them now, because of Islam and all kinds of stuff, they can't have Bibles. They don't even read Bibles. They don't even go to, people don't go to church. People, when they go to church, they get nothing. Nothing. They get nothing. They sit through, you know, sit, steal, not, what else, and whatever. I mean, wow. So, over with me, please, for a little exercise. Over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, so you understand the founding fathers, what are they working with? Truth. What is this business of truth? Big time truth. Why are you pressing truth? Declaration, the independent constitution? What is this truth business, you see? And it's very clear. In fact, I have it on my thing, the little copy of the Declaration and the Constitution and the amendments to the Constitution. It's in a little thing, a little thin like this. And I think of that. I almost would send that to Washington and let them know. They got 2,700 pages starting for the health care. Then you got 16,000 plus pages on implementing the health care. And here we got this little thing, little piece of paper. You can turn to pages like this and read through it. Declaration, Constitution, the founding of our country. And it's only in this little thing. Why do we need reams and reams and piles and piles? Because we have abandoned the truth. If you had the truth, watch. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, and picking up, please, in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, human beings, who hold, who are having and holding is the verb, having and holding the truth in an unrighteous way. We've got the Bible, we've got all kinds of stuff that's wonderfully, wonderfully helpful, but we don't hold it with a view to be governed and guided by it. And if you're not governed and guided by the Declaration and the Constitution, then you don't have it. You don't have it. Don't have it at all. And thus, this is way before we ever came into being. And that was a problem, whether it be the Roman Empire or wherever you want to go. Over, slide down to verse 25. What did they do? They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So they don't want to hold the truth. They don't want to have the truth. And they're going to change the truth. Now, when you do that, how much truth do you think you're going to have left? You won't have it. You won't hold it. And you're going to change whatever. You aren't going to have any truth. So what is true? We don't know what's true. Nothing's true. Everything's true. Nothing's true. Wow. So now, John chapter 1. You know all these things. I'm just reminding myself and you. I hope. The truth. God, you are the true God. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and going, if I can, to verse 14. Our Lord became flesh, the Son of God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if you were in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity, after Bethlehem of Judea, what would you have seen? You would have seen a wonderful person who was in the realm of the Roman Empire, Herod's environment, King Herod. And here is a man who was freed. Wonderfully, wonderfully, he carried the truth. And the truth set him free so that he could go and deal with the taxes and the government and the badness and wrongness of everything. And he could deal with it because he knew the truth. If we don't know the truth, then we don't know how to deal with it. And we're going to have lots of wars. Lots of wars. Wow. And remember now, just think of your own body, just to say war. You see, I'm not familiar with war. Well, I know we aren't. And just to show you how unfamiliar we are, I just read the other day or whatever, there is 1 trillion, 1 trillion, 1 trillion bugs in your digestive system. 55 different, 500, 1 trillion bugs, over 500 different species live in your digestive system. That's 10 times more than the cells, the bacteria, bugs in your body, are 10 times more than your cells, your trillions of cells that make you up. You are one environmental buggy person, aren't you? And that's at war. And the good bacteria, you got to have it, or the bad bacteria wins. So you want enough good bacteria to fight the bad bacteria, and they eat each other up. That's called eating war. And they all war against each other. And they all war. And when the good guys are winning, you feel good. When the bad guys are winning, you feel bad. And the war goes on. War. That's inside each of you. Do you feel your war, George? You don't feel war. I'm telling you, what's there? What's there? It's taking place right now. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting there. And you say, well, I don't know about war. Listen, your whole system's at war. Our world's at war with God. That's the whole problem. Truth. They don't want truth. Religion up to our eyeballs, but not truth. So now, John, our Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth, wonderfully so. And in verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so we know, John chapter 8, and you know, again, there you go, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, genuinely, truly. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth will make you free. A wonderful, wonderful freedom. A wonderful freedom. What have we found the country for? For freedom. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. They have freedom. Freedom to think. Freedom to grow. Freedom to read. Freedom. Wonderful freedom. The truth will set you free. Over to John 14, you know. John 14. God, you going to say it again to us? Uh-huh. I am. John 14. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And the Lord Jesus said, well, let me help you. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What do we want? God, why do they all come to found this country? They were looking to come and have some freedom. To consider God, to consider truth, to possess truth, to know truth. Chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Wonderful, wonderful truth, God. Truth. Now what happened? Well, Romans, way back, people didn't want truth. That in the days of Noah, they didn't want truth. The Tower of Babel, they didn't want truth. They didn't want truth. The truth was missing. And society doesn't go anywhere except war and rumors of war. That's what it does. Wow. And it's war all over the place. War. We got high-tech war and mental war and all kinds of wars. All kinds of wars. Everything's at war. Disease. The war against disease. High-tech invasion. The war against our smartphones. Wow. So now in the light of that, so going from Romans back here, way back in history, I'm going to go forward in history to tomorrow, over to 2 Thessalonians. If I can. And in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, coming up in the days ahead, picking up, if I can, a little hard to get the context here. In verse 7, the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness, doth already work, only he who now letteth it, until he be taken out of the way, the Spirit of God taken out with the church, then shall that wicked be revealed, the wicked one, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, whose with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Remember Romans 1:18. They wanted to be not right, but wrong. Did anyone ever get it straightened out? In history? No, we're going to go right down the corridor of time and we haven't learned a thing. And all with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the what, dear friend? They don't want to know the truth. They don't love the truth that they might be saved. When they did our Constitution and Declaration, they loved the truth. They loved the truth. They were willing to die for the truth. Men and women in the war past lined up to go fight for our country, for the truth. They paid a price for the truth. And they knew. They knew when they went out, they may not come back. They knew that. Wow. Now, so they don't love the truth. Well, let me keep going. It's coming up. If you're going to think this is going to get better, no, it isn't. Because we have memorials, but no good memory. So we hit verse 11. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, deception, and that they should believe a lie, or the lie, the falsehood. They're going to believe the man of sin is really a solution, and he isn't a solution. Verse 12, that purpose, that they all might, why are you going to let all this happen, God? That they all might be damned, judged, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They didn't want to get it right. They didn't want to know what it was right. They didn't want to do right. Wow. Here we are. Wow. And we're the recipients of those dear men and women and the many that have served and made it possible. So now, God, here we are and looking. So now, God, you have a wonderful purpose. I do. Over, if you would please, to, why not? You're right nearby. Over to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, picking up please in verse 9. God, who hath saved us, 1:9, and called us unto an holy calling, not according to our works. No, it isn't anything that we're going to produce, but according to his own purpose, his own determination, his own resolve, his own purpose and grace, full of grace and truth, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So God, you made a wonderful provision for Adam and Eve and everyone else that followed to know the truth. That's right, to have the truth. My purpose was that I am the God of the truth, the God of light. I want you to know the truth. That's why you gave us your word, purpose, so that we'd know you. And that was before the world ever began. So, dear framers of our Constitution and Declaration, you guys weren't so stupid, were you? You read history, thought about history, understood history, and you exercised it. Wonderful. Wow. Over now to Ephesians. Ephesians, if I may, picking up, please, in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, God's will, according to his good pleasure, he wants us to know, he's pleased, wants us to know, which he purposed, there's your word, determination, he hath purposed in himself. Now, God, who told you to design us and make us and create a world like this? You did, all by your lonesome. And you made it so that we would know you, the truth. So when everything else was done, we would know what is right and the truth, the wonderful, wonderful truth. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, been chosen, being predestinated to mark out ahead of time, not a person, but what about things, not persons, whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose, there's your word again, of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You keep working everything. You have a wonderful purpose. So God, here we are in the corridor of time. We've had a very short history of considering countries. We're just a baby. Nations, considering the old nations, we're just a baby. And God, here we are, having our problems, to say the least. And that's because you have purposed in your wonderful plan to have another movement, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, a wicked one, Antichrist, a whole setting that gives the world a setting to live in. They want to live in the absence of truth. They want to live in the absence of grace and mercy. They demand it. I am going to give it to them. Tribulation. For 7 years, I'm going to give it to them. They want to learn. There's no school like the College of Hard Knocks. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and you have a wonderful purpose. So here we are sitting there, and we don't have any regret about anything. No, we have no regrets. We want to learn from them, and we want to go with it. We can't go back and fix history. Here we are. We want to run with a football. We want to run. It's our assignment. And the dear men and women that remember yesterday, we want to be an encouragement to them. We want to be encouragement as you go by the cemetery. They all, many of them gave their lives. Wow. God, I owe them. I owe them. I owe you. I owe you. I do. I do. It's a wonderful thing to know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And the benefits of it are amazing. Over to Romans in closing. You know, in our Declaration, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. Wonderful, wonderful happiness. The wonderful well-being. Peace. Shalom. Happiness. Blessed. Blessedness. God, how are we ever going to have that without you? We aren't going to. And so, God, here's our, here we are. And we work, home, school, all the different things in our life, society, our country, our world, our global situation. God, here we are. We aren't going to fix anything. But God, we ought to have a little wonderful experience when we're exercised by your wonderful presence. You didn't go away, God. We left you. You didn't leave us, God. So God, here we are. Purpose, wonderful purpose, your purpose, to know the truth, to live in the truth, to have life, liberty, freedom, to function, to fulfill why we were created in the first place. Why are we in this body anyway? So Romans 8, as you know, in the light of this purpose business, verse 28, as you would remember, we know that verse 8 and 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God, you didn't change your purpose one iota. His purpose has never been changed for your life. It's the same purpose right now. And we, no matter what. And why can that be guaranteed? Not because of men and women that gave their life. That is guaranteed because of Christ who gave his life to guarantee you that purpose. And he paid for that. And no one, anywhere, anyhow can take that from you if you choose it. It is your right to choose God's wonderful purpose of why he let you be born on planet Earth. Do you understand that? And no one, government, no one, enemies, war, rumors of war, never can take that from you. If you don't give it up. Don't give it up and walk away because the system is. God help us. All things work together for what, dear friend? Do you think good is very good? When God says good, as opposed to bad, if God says it's good, I'm going for it. God said it's good. Good. When you, dear people that are benefited from our American heritage. Wow. Would to God we could feed it back into the system. But it's a tough job. Be an example. Be a little light. Be an encouragement to men and women, boys and girls. You work with, you go to school with, and they're plugging along, doing whatever. Tell them there's a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior and a wonderful plan he has for your life, no matter what, who, when, or where. And shoot for it. Go for it. Go to war for it. Fight for it. Remember now, we'll do it again tonight. You do not have any kind of, you don't have peace unless you have victory. You must win the war. There is no neutrality. You can't be halfway. You don't have any peace unless you win the war. Unless you have victory. When you have victory, you can have something out of it. Think of Japan. Second World War. Think of Germany, apart from the confusing things. Wow. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and God. Thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you, our God, no matter who, what, when, where. God, you are who you are, wonderfully so. God, we just need to give you the space to exercise your wonderful grace so that we can pursue the truth, possess the truth, enjoy the truth. To enjoy, in other words, the wonderful person that you are. Wow. Thank you very, very much. And for those who know you're not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him into their heart. And our God, we're going to thank you for all, even on this weekend across the country, across the world, our God, deal with the heart of many up and down country after country. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.